Hi, I'm Allison Benjamin, president of CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
And I'm Colin Xavier, co-host of Brown Bagger CFRO Radio 102.7 FM in Vancouver.
And I'm Frieda Wharton, spoken word coordinator of CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, BC.
Your regularly scheduled program is being preempted for a special broadcast.
The broadcasters, technicians, and support staff of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation and all the members of the Canadian Media Guild have been locked out by CBC management.
These people wanted to continue to do their jobs, but have not been given the choice.
So today we present to you CBC Unplugged from Studio Zero in Vancouver. Here are Kelly Ryan, national reporter, and Alexis Mazurin of CBC Radio 3.
Take it away!
The radio revolution is underway.
Hey, what's going on? My name is Alexis Mazurin.
And I'm Kelly Ryan. And we have Steve Armitage here with us. Steve, what do you think of what's going on out here?
It's a poor excuse for hockey, but it is hockey, and it is CBC personnel playing the game. We'd like to be covering it, but I guess this is the second best. Ian Hanna-Mansing is out there, and I don't think he should give up his day job. He really doesn't know what a hockey stick is or what it's supposed to do. He's trying, though. He's having fun.
And, you know, there's an amazing amount of fun here for a labor disruption, a lockout. We've got the TELUS workers, who are also locked out, have come down to lead us in an aerobics session there. And we're going to hear about all of that and the hockey game and some of the other stuff going on as we continue our program here. But first, we need to thank all the shows, all the stations that are letting us be on the program.
Yeah, definitely want to give a thanks to CITR 101.9, Co-op Radio 102.7, CJSF 90.1 in Vancouver, and as well as Fort Smith, Northwest Territories. Got to give a big shout out to them. CHFS 102.9 FM, and in Lethbridge, we have CKXU 88.3. Thanks to everyone for helping out here with our special lockout radio show.
And there are lots of stations across the country that we don't know about who've let us commandeer their airwaves because, as you undoubtedly know by now, we have been kicked out of the house. But we're not going to stop doing what we love. So, for those people who don't regularly listen to CBC Radio, we're going to tell you what's been happening over the last week or so. If you're a fan of the CBC, thanks so much for switching the dial and sticking with the people who actually make up what you hear and watch every single day.
Yeah, since Monday of last week, we've been out on the street in front of CBC in Vancouver. And if you drive by your local CBC stations, you'll see all the Canadian Media Guild members walking and picketing. And to be honest, itching to do what we do best. And today, we've lined up a great show for you.
We've got some live music by local independent artists, including Roy Forbes, Jeff Berner, and Joe Keithley of DOA. We've got interviews and comedy. You're going to hear from Ian Hanna-Mansing when we get him off the hockey rink, as it is here. Bill Richardson, Tetsuro Shigematsu, and Rick Clough. But first, let's hear from you, the listener.
Yeah, that's right. We went out and asked you how you, the listener, would feel about the lockout affecting your CBC coverage. And here was what's on your mind.
So, what impact is this going to have on the hockey?
So does that mean there's going to be no hockey night on Saturday night again?
So, is hockey going to be okay? That's like, hockey is, like, I watch hockey all the time. And I don't want anyone messing with my hockey. I want Ron, I want Don, I want all the boys. And if they're not around, then what the hell am I going to do with my Saturday nights, man?
You know what, Alexis? That actually sounded an awful lot like Paolo, who works for the Roundup, and James from CBC Radio 3, and, well, I don't know, a whole lot of other guys that I see in the halls.
Well, it's true. You got me. Those were some of the people here on the picket line. You know, hockey is obviously a big issue, but it's not the only one. So now, seriously, and I mean seriously, here is how CBC listeners are feeling about the lockout.
So what do you think of the new CBC sound?
It kind of sucks ass. Miss the regular shows, frankly. So I listen to it, but more out of habit than anything else.
What do you miss most?
Well, pretty much everything. It's disappointing. I'd like to see it back on the air. Regular programs back on the air.
I've listened to the radio once, and it's terrible. The music is awful, and so I stopped listening.
I don't enjoy it as much.
What's wrong with it?
Well, I don't know. Without taking anything away from anybody, it sounds like who's ever running it sounds like a real bunch of amateurs.
Sort of a flashback to 1973. I didn't realize how many really specific and individual products there are now, or different shows. I miss Jazz Beat or the After Hours, and I sort of miss the morning show, too.
What do you think of how CBC sounds like right now?
Well, there's nowhere near the content. There's some interesting old Canadian tunes.
Oh, I liked it. I liked the classic music that was on.
I think I miss the news and just the morning program that I sort of count on to get my day started.
What do you think of the new CBC sound?
Lots of music.
I like the original better. I listen to it and I miss the real CBC. It's timely. And it's just new, and you get used to that. And we, my husband listens to it all the time, and I listen to it a lot. But we just miss it.
Think of the new CBC sound.
I think it's younger, fresher.
Thanks to reporter Stephanie Mitchell for collecting that tape.
You are listening to CBC Unplugged from Studio Zero. You can download a podcast version of this program at cmgvancouver.org. The management has locked us out, but we are doing our best to stay on the airwaves.
Now, if you have any questions or comments about the lockout or what to write in a letter to your MP, well, we have some ideas for you. You can visit the website, as Alexis mentioned. It's CMG, that stands for Canadian Media Guild, cmgvancouver.org. That is, again, cmgvancouver.org. Now, to help you understand why management locked us out, here is the early editions Myung Lee speaking with Pierre Claveau. He is one of the Canadian Media Guild negotiators. He was at the table when the talks broke off.
Pierre, what has led to this lockout?
From the union perspective, it's a serious determination by management to have its view, have its point of view at the table. We have tried for 15 months to bargain over 100 articles in the new collective agreement, but don't forget we have three collective agreements to meld together to make one because of a union, the two union melting together. So the fundamental reason for us is that management came straight from day one and asked us to adopt an article, to accept an article about employment status, giving management the right to, at for no reasons, for all their reasons, for the reasons that they don't want to explain to us, hire as many contract people as they wanted. As far as union is concerned, as far as this union is concerned, it's a completely unacceptable situation. They didn't want to bargain with us. They didn't want to tell us why they need it. They didn't even let us walk in their direction and meet their interests. They didn't want to explain what was their reason. We tried to the 11th hours, even, you know, last week, 3 hours before the deadline for the lockout, we tried to bargain this specific article. Corporation refused. They said, we will continue to bargain if you accept this article. So what led to this lockout? Well, that's the only reason I can give you.
So what is it about contracting out staff and jobs that the union has a problem with?
It's not that we have a problem with it. Don't forget that our contract, the contract that expired in March 2004, already accepted this principle. We already have a mass of worker. The corporation says 5%, we say 30%. In fact, it's 5% of contract people, official contract people, plus temporary people, plus freelancers, plus a bunch of people. It makes 30%. Our old contract already accepted this principle. It's not that we're opposed to it. What we're opposed to is the corporation for the future and for every or almost every classification will only hire temporary and contract. That is where the problem is. It's not as we're opposed to it. On the contrary, we told the corporation, tell us what you need. We'll give you more if you need more. It's okay. But we don't want that forever and ever the corporation will never hire any permanent anymore. This is ridiculous. We cannot count on that. The corporation will just, the workforce will just, with time, just disappear. It will just be a workforce of temporary people. It cannot be.
So where are we at today? What are the latest developments?
The latest development, last week, our chief negotiator and the chief negotiator from management met. Management reiterated its position that in order to continue bargaining, we have to agree on their article. We have to sign this article, and then they will continue to bargain. We have many, many other clauses to bargain. But it's the same. It's the same unmovable attitude that they have. So we said no. We said we want to bargain this article. We want to hear you. We want to walk in your direction. We don't want this at all cost position of theirs.
So we've had a lot of feedback from audience members, listeners, and viewers, and people who look on the internet as well that care for the CBC. So what message do you have out there for those people who are wanting to do more and do their part, or what can others do in order to speed this dispute?
I will remind the people that miss the CBC that CBC belongs to them. CBC doesn't belong to a bunch of management with a business plan. CBC belongs to Canadian. The federal government has a responsibility to care for the CBC. The board of directors has the responsibility to keep the CBC on. If a bunch of management, for business reason or whatever reason, decides that they don't care for the CBC, that they want to achieve this whatever agenda they have at all cost, maybe, you know, people in the public should call their MLAs, call their MPs, because at all level of government we need to be involved. Call their MPs and tell them, we need the CBC, do something. Don't let the situation continue and you know, the CBC being threatened as it is right now.
Pierre, thank you very much.
Okay.
That was Pierre Claveau, BC President of the Canadian Media Guild. Thanks to Mi Young Lee, who is an associate producer with the Early Edition in Vancouver. And you're listening to CBC Unplugged from Studio Zero in Vancouver. And just in case you're wondering where our Studio Zero is, well, it is on the street corner in Vancouver on basically Robson and Hamilton.
Yeah, right across from the City Library. But you're listening to the show on CITR 101.9, Co-op Radio 102.7, and CJSF 90.1 FM in Vancouver. You're also listening to us in Fort Smith, Northwest Territories, CHFS 102.9 FM, and in Lethbridge as well, CKXU at 88.3 FM on the dial, and a whole host of other radio stations, I'm sure, that have picked us up.
Yeah, and if you want to download the show, like we said before, go to cmgvancouver.org. And if you want to write to your MP about the lockout, also go to cmgvancouver.org.
Now, as Alexis mentioned, we aren't broadcasting from inside our cozy little building with our fancy studios. They're not fancy. I don't know. No one's ever been to them. They are furnished so badly. But anyway, it's home. But we're on the street. We're making radio like many of our co-workers who are locked out across the country.
Yeah, teams of locked out CBC journalists and broadcasters are organizing pirate radio stations, web pages, podcasts. And like us, they're broadcasting with the help of community radio stations and campus radio stations everywhere.
Now, you know that that's not the only thing that's happening. If you're listening to the top of the show, you know that there is actually a street hockey game going on behind us. There's also some aerobics being done by the locked-out TELUS workers who've come down to help us out on our picket line here.
Yeah, everyone's doing their part, you know, to try and keep in shape and keep the morale up. And even better, there is live music. So to tell us more, here's Tetsuro Shigematsu, host of The Roundup, and Lynn Barnaby from Radio Canada.
Yeah, it's sort of like being at summer camp, isn't it, Lynn?
Yes, Tetsuro. Right now we are sitting in a circle like a campfire.
Yes, and like a campfire, we also have music. That's because musicians who support members of the Canadian Media Guild have come down onto the line to provide us with a picket line serenade.
And our first guest today is Joe Keithley. I would like to thank you, Joe, for coming down today.
Now, I'm really excited about having Joe Keithley down on the line with us, because if you were to look up hardcore in the dictionary, you would see Joe's picture. He's the lead singer of the legendary hardcore punk band DOA. But he's not going to be singing any punk music, no, don't worry folks out there. He's going to be singing more blue-collar labor songs in spirit with our lockout.
And the title of his song today, You Won't Stand Alone.
Don't worry, it gets louder later. But time to make a stand, time to have a say. Don't buckle under, get in the way. There's many ears to listen and many hands to help. Time to wake them up and give the liars hell. Well, when you face a storm, you won't stand alone. We'll all fight back with every stone. Not just for yourself, we do it for all. Or reach out for our help. You won't stand alone, you won't stand alone. They climb the corporate ladder, they take the kick back, they sell out their mother, but they can go to hell
They'll line you up to listen in front of the TV and make you feel like you got you something to eat. And you'll pee in your jar just to keep your job, unless you're downsized, another useless cog. While when you face a storm, you won't stand alone. We'll all fight back with every stone. Not just for yourself, we do it for all, or reach out for our help. You won't stand alone, you won't stand alone, no. Yeah. They climb the corporate ladder, they take the kickback, they sell out their mother, they can go to hell. What time to make a stand? Time to duck your face. Now and not go under, get in the way. There's many ears to listen and many hands to help. Time to wake them up and give the liars out. Well, when you face storm, you won't stand alone. We'll all fight back with every stone. Not just for yourself, we do it for all. Reach out for our help. You won't stand alone, you won't stand alone. Thanks, everybody.
All right, thank you very much. That was DOA's lead singer, Joe Keithley, with his song,
You Won't Stand Alone. That was great.
Yeah, great that was guy. Terrific. It was nice to see the softer, sensitive side of Joe Keithley rather than his hardcore punk rage.
Yeah, great guy. Thank you, Joe.
That was music from the Picket Line Serenade, as we're calling it. We're going to go back to Tetsuro and Lynn for more music in just a few minutes.
You're listening to CBC Unplugged from Studio Zero. The people producing the show are Canadian Media Guild members locked out by CBC management.
We are reporters, hosts, producers, technicians, and support staff that do our best to tell Canada's stories every day.
Now, if you want to have a podcast of the show, we're technologically advanced here, even though we're out on the street. What you got to do is go to cmgvancouver.org. And if you want to write to your member of parliament about the lockout, same thing goes, cmgvancouver.org, and all the information is there. Now, you know what, Kelly? You know what's really great about hanging out here on the picket line?
What's that?
It's the stargazing. Look at all the great CBC personalities. They're just walking by the line, like Priya Ramu and Steve Armitage, who we talked earlier from CBC Sports.
And Mark Forsyth. There's David Wisdom. And that guy with the really deep voice on Radio 3.
That's me.
Oh, you know what? You sound a lot taller on the radio.
Yeah, well, sounds are deceiving.
Anyway. You're listening to CBC Unplugged from Studio Zero, made by locked out members of the Canadian Media Guild.
Hello, this is Carol James, leader of BC's official opposition, and you're listening to CBC Unplugged. During this difficult time for employees of Canada's public broadcaster, I wanted to express my very high regard for the professionalism, integrity, and commitment of the men and women of the CBC. From administrative and technical support to senior producers and program hosts, your dedication to the highest standard of broadcasting is critical to public life in British Columbia and across our country. The CBC enriches Canada's cultural fabric. It's the voice of Canada, expressing our shared values, providing all of us with a common thread from coast to coast to coast. I know I join other British Columbians and Canadians in hoping for a fair and equitable resolution to the dispute and a speedy return to the quality CBC programming we've all come to cherish. All of you are sorely missed. Hang in there.
And here's a look at your weather forecast for the corner of Georgia and Hamilton today. Mostly sunny skies. We're expecting highs reaching around 27 degrees. A little cooler in the shade near Robson and Georgia under the large tree. Highs of about 24 degrees there. If you take a roundabout over to the east on Cambie, it's expected the temperatures would be slightly cooler with a bit of a breeze blowing on Cambie Street today. We're expecting the temperatures only to reach about 20 degrees. 3 degrees. Watch out for cars when crossing the street, and please leave your picket signs next to your lawn chair if you choose to save your lawn chair. We're expecting showers tonight, sadly, over this part of town, and a mix of sun and cloud tomorrow. Right now, outside our Studio Zero studios, it's 17 degrees. For CBC Unplugged at Studio Zero, I'm Steve Luce.
Hey, what's happening? My name's Alexis Mazarin, and you're listening to CBC Unplugged from Studio Zero in Vancouver.
We just want to thank again all those great community and campus radio stations that are broadcasting this show right now. And if you're just tuning in, we are the locked out members of the Canadian Media Guild.
Yes, CBC management has barred us from doing our jobs, which is making great Canadian radio and television. So for over a week, we've been here on the picket line around CBC stations across the country.
Now, if you were here for the first half of the show, you would have heard a lot of familiar voices. But if you visit us at the picket line, and you are certainly welcome to do that, you're going to see a lot of familiar faces as well.
For example, my good friend J.J. Lee has caught up with someone who you might recognize from Canada Now.
Thanks, Alexis. One of the people that you may recognize on the line with us this week is Ian Hanemansing. Ian, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Very well. I was wondering, I've been watching CBC once in a while, and I noticed that the Supper Hour news show is actually a BBC show. What are Canadians missing when they're watching a BBC show instead?
Well, there's so much they're missing. First of all, I should say, on Monday, like a lot of people, I was intrigued to see what would be on at 6 o'clock because we had no idea. And what we kind of thought is that there'd be some attempt to put on a Canadian newscast, because that's the whole point of Canada Now, is to do a newscast that has the key stories, some of which are international, most of which are Canadian. So I flipped on the TV at 6 o'clock, like many other people, wondering what would be on, and was shocked to see BBC on there. So you've got the BBC World Service, which on one of the big international stories of the week, the pullout in Gaza, has done a tremendous job. But not a single, not one, not even for a second Canadian story in the week so far at 6 o'clock or 10 o'clock for that matter.
Even in the realm of international stories, what about the Canadian broadcasting perspective, the way we do journalism? Is it different from the BBC? Is it a different outlook?
I think the thing that people need to keep in mind is that on the big international stories, and over the years I've covered a few of them, all the major news organizations, and many that aren't even major news organizations, send their person out there. And they send their person out to the Gaza Strip. They send their person out to the Hong Kong handover years ago. They send their person out to the presidential election because the audience of that particular media outlet is used to a certain style of reporting and a certain perspective. And you know, in this not just multi-channel world, but multimedia world, that if you're a regular reader of Maclean's, for example, or a regular viewer of World News Tonight, or a regular listener to CBC Radio, that you're going to have a certain style of reporting. And on CBC Radio and television, you know, there are a lot of viewers and listeners who rely very much on the way that Adrienne Arsenault does her reporting, for example, or there's so many reporters that you can pick. So not having them there means that the viewers and listeners that are used to that are losing something. I mean, Adrienne's a good example. You know, she is a terrific reporter, and she brings something to her story that other reporters don't. And we haven't, I'm sure that she's been itching all year to report this week from that climactic moment in Israel and the neighboring territories, and she hasn't had a chance to do that. And that's a shame for her, but it's a shame for me as someone who was looking forward to listening to her do those stories.
How do you feel about seeing a BBC replacement show in your slot?
Well, I tell you the truth is that they're terrific at what they do. And I don't mind watching BBC, and I don't even feel any sort of militancy towards the fact that they, quote-unquote, are in my, quote-unquote, slot. I think that we're missing two fundamental things, though. We're missing our foreign correspondents covering those stories, which they do very, very well. I mean, think back to the tsunami and the aftermath of the tsunami, and the kind of job that, once again, Adrienne did, Chris Brown did, that Patrick Brown did. The level of reporting was amazing. And when you think about it, there were reporters from around the world covering that story. So what did the CBC reporters bring to us? Well, first of all, they brought us all the facts that everyone else had. But secondly, they certainly brought us a Canadian perspective that many other reporters didn't. We had more, and I would argue better, reporters there than Global and CTV, and so our audience was well served. So we're missing that, but of course the other thing we're missing is all the Canadian stories. You know, as good as BBC World is, as I said, they haven't run a single Canadian story all week. Now, is there anything that's happened in Canada this week that warrants coverage at 6 o'clock? Of course there is. You know, like, I could rattle off a dozen stories that Canadians ought to not just know about, but have some perspective on, and they certainly aren't getting that from the CBC this week.
Now, you're a very recognizable person. What have people on the street been saying to you about the lockout?
It was interesting. You know, just on Monday, I went to a lot of different places. I took one of my kids to a hockey camp. I went to the gym. I had lunch at a cafe that I hadn't been to before. And every place I went, people who, in usual circumstances, don't even necessarily say anything to me. Like at the gym, for example, kind of go in there anonymously and leave. But this time around, people were looking at me and asking what was going on and wondering what the issues were and sharing my astonishment that this was going on.
Well, thank you very much for your time, Ian. Ian Hanumansing, anchor of Canada Now.
Occasionally anchor of Canada Now. Not today.
That's J.J. Lee with Ian Hanumansing.
And coming up on the show, Todd Mathen on the blog war that has fired up with the lockout. We hope to be joined by Early Edition host Rick Clough and national reporter Kurt Petrovich, with whom I share an office usually.
But that's coming up later in the show. You can't reminisce about that
okay,
now. You got to
right,
stay
all
solid
right,
on
right.
the screen.
Okay, sorry, focus.
All right, we're going to go back to the Picket Line Serenade.
Hi, everybody. My name is Lynn Barnaby, and I'm a host at for Radio-Canada, and I'm with Tetsuro Shigematsu, host of the Roundup.
That's right, Lynn. And normally, that's what we do. We work inside in our nice studios. But because CBC management has disrupted your programming, Lynn and I are hosting a show right here on the sidewalk. We're literally sitting on the curb.
Yeah, that's right, Tetsuro. This is the Picket Line Serenade. Musicians who support CBC workers have come down today to the line to sing to us. And our next guest is Roy Forbes.
That's right. Now, Roy has been playing for more than 30 years here in Canada, and he's been described as having the most distinctive voice in the nation. And this is his song,
Powered by Love.
In the morning, when the dawn is climbing, I can feel your steady breathing, see the blankets fall and rise, and I just smile, 'cause everything is rhyming. I'm so thankful for you, darling, I don't need any disguise, because I'm powered by love, powered by love, a love that's been alive a long time. In from the storm, dry, safe and warm, and perfectly aligned. And there's no time for tears, no time for tears, and the deep fears over lonely night. That's all in the past, here's something that will last. Out in a wild world of twisted up desires, you know that place full of cheaters, always trying to drag you down. Well, I walk right into their line of fire. I'm invincible, darling, I'm not gonna be that clown. Alive a long time. In from the storm, dry, safe and warm, and perfectly
I'm Bill Richardson, and this is CBC Unplugged on something called Studio Zero. And I'm standing on Hamilton Street outside the building where it has been my pleasure and my privilege to work pretty much on a full-time basis on contract since 1988. And I'm just so pissed off. I've been through a lot of labor disruption at the CBC, as everybody who's worked here for any length of time has been, although this is the first time I've actually been directly affected by it, in that this is the first time I've been barred from my workplace. Other times I've been part of a bargaining unit that's kept on working while other colleagues have been on strike. That has had its awkwardnesses, but of course there was the privilege of going in and the privilege of the paycheck. Now, my response to these situations is to think, oh my God, I will never work again. I'm going to be broke. I have to find a job. So I sat down and I did up myself a little resume. And the more I looked at it, this sort of roster of event over the last 15 years, the more I began to think, my God in heaven, but I've done a lot. And the more I thought of that, the more pissed off I became at the stupidity and the indignity of this. And I'm not really laying blame here. I don't hold the union as unalloyedly heroic in this, but I certainly am more outraged than I can say at the management of this corporation having locked out its employees. I think it is shocking, given how hard we have worked, how much we have done, how much we've brought to the place, how many extra hours we put in because of, again, the privilege of working here. I can't tell you how often I've spent my weekends and my evenings auctioning off pots of jam at nickel increments for one little benefit after another, done it willingly, done it gladly, done it because I'm a part of this place. I've given a huge, huge, huge amount of my own time. And I've just turned 50, and now it has come to this. A sign around the neck and the endless circuit down Hamilton, down Robson, down Canby, down Georgia, not at the security guards, reverse, repeat. It's so frigging maddening. I mean, I've got it in perspective. It's not the Russian campaign. I understand that. Nobody's dying here. But the insult of it. And to compound it, the insult that if I turn on the radio, which I hasten to add, I don't, I will hear my own voice, that our so-called managers have taken over the so-called professional programming of the CBC by scampering to the archives and pulling out my stuff. Well, they own it. They have every legal right to do it. But they're making a scab not just of me, digitally speaking, but of the musicians who are on those programs, of the readers who are on those programs, of the listeners who called in and told their stories, of the guests who are on their programs. It is reprehensible. I'm just mad.
I'm Kelly Ryan.
I'm Alexis Mazarin, and you're listening to CBC Unplugged from Studio Zero.
This very special broadcast has been made available with the help of community and campus radio stations in your area. So thanks again to the stations like CITR, CJSF, CFRO, and many, many more. If you want to download the pod version of the show to share with your friends because they didn't hear it, go to cmgvancouver.org.
Okay, so basically, all labor disputes are to a certain extent a battle for the hearts and the minds. The need to get your information out and spin it in a positive way isn't new. But the CBC lockout has created a fresh front line that's taking a closer look at that. Here to discuss the blog war is technology futurist and CBC Unplugged contributor Todd Maffin with Margaret Gallagher.
Hey there, Todd.
Hi, Margaret.
So how are you holding up?
Not bad. Pretty good. I've been out of town for a week, so this is my first day here, so I'm one of the newbies. I'm sure 3 days from now my feet will be crying like everyone else's.
But I see you are no stranger to the picket line because you have got your website going and there are links to many, many blogs.
Yeah, it's iloveradio.org, and I'm trying to maintain a list of all of the blogs related. There are blogs from workers, there's a blog from a manager, there's blogs from management and union. So I'm trying to maintain sort of a non-biased, it's not a mouthpiece for either side. I'm just trying to sort of follow the news of everything, and hopefully we'll all be back soon.
Now, for people who are not familiar with it, can you just give us the rundown on what a blog actually is?
Sure. Well, blogs began as sort of teenage girls posting their daily life. It was like an online diary. They've really evolved now as an alternative news source. So you can visit these blogs just like regular websites, and they're sort of news events. It's easy for people to publish. You don't have to know HTML, which is the language of the web, but increasingly where they're becoming more powerful is you can subscribe to what's known as a feed. So you can follow a whole bunch of different blogs all in sort of one area. So it makes it really interesting. If you subscribe to five or six worker blogs or that kind of thing, you only really have to go to one page or one program to review all the latest postings. So instead of having to go to each individual website and think, well, is that new? Maybe I've read that before. It only shows you the new material. So it really is becoming an interesting way to follow news.
Now, what kinds of blogs are being written about the CBC lockout?
Right now, they seem to be sort of grouped into three different areas. The largest number are worker blogs, so it's people like me, people like, there's about a dozen people who have been locked out who have nothing else to do with their creative, so they're trying to find an outlet, so they're blogging about that. So far, there's one manager who's doing a blog. No one's quite sure it's an anonymous person, but they're keeping up to date on what's happening out there. And then the other group is photo blogs, which are people that take photos and use a site like Flickr.com to post up photographs. So those tend to be sort of the areas that are following.
Yeah, I've looked at some of the photo blogs, and it's interesting because in Vancouver you can see people on the line in Toronto and how they've customized their signs and kind of get a sense of what's going on across the country. Because you can feel quite isolated walking the same block over and over and over again.
Yeah, it's very true. And one interesting way that there's an engineer in the TV mobile division in Edmonton, and he's using it for more quite a political purpose. He took some photographs. He actually somehow got into the CFL game and had some sort of high-powered zoom lens and was taking pictures of the managers who were operating the cameras and was naming them and sort of saying, you know, oh, hi, Bob, you know, I hope you know we're watching. It's interesting to see. I'm not a huge fan of that kind of rhetoric, but it's just sort of an interesting way to sort of see how people are using this. You know, even 3 years ago when the lockout happened with the engineers and technicians, this kind of technology wasn't available. So it really is kind of interesting to see how it's being used now.
It's interesting, too, because it is a very public thing, but you kind of get lulled into this sense of privacy when you're writing it sometimes. I think people write these little personal postings, but they are available for anybody in the world to look at.
Yeah, and I mean, the Wimette blog, which is the anonymous manager, by far is the most heavily clicked blog on my site, and that person's, you know, anonymous. I've emailed with them from an anonymous account, it's really kind of neat to sort of see.
Tell me a little bit more about this Wimette character.
It's just it's someone who is a manager, we think, in the Toronto building, who is sort of keeping up to date with what's happening. It's a very interesting use, though, because CBC as an entity, as a corporate entity, probably has to screen a lot of stuff first before they put it out. They have their own site, cbcnegotiations.ca, I believe, where they do a daily update. But you know that stuff, as with the union material, it's vetted by a number of people before it gets out publicly. This gives a manager or management an opportunity to sort of say things and float trial balloons and say, here's what it feels like inside. And it really does give you a sense of the human aspect. You know, the people inside these buildings are not having a great time either. To be able to hear from people inside, I think it gives an interesting sense of the human aspect of this.
Ultimately, how do you think these blogs are going to affect this dispute?
You know, I don't think they'll have a huge effect on it. At the end of the day, the two sides have to get together. And I think blogs and podcasts are an interesting way to keep people up to date and to perhaps have communication going between the two sides in the dispute. But I think at the end of the day, it takes that small handful of people to sit down in a room together. And it still takes face-to-face. All the blogs, podcasts, and RSS feeds in the world will not get us back to work.
Thanks, Todd.
You're welcome.
That was Todd Maffin speaking with Margaret Gallagher. Todd is a broadcaster and futurist. He was the CBC technology contributor. He, too, is locked out here in Vancouver. But you can check out Todd's website at iloveradio.org.
All right, now it's time to head back to the picket line serenade and see what's going on.
Thanks, Kelly. Thanks, Alexis. And now, joining us on the picket line serenade, the band Van Django.
That's right. They're one of Vancouver's favorite quartets. But today we just have two of them. We have Cameron Wilson on the violin and Bud Schachty playing the guitar. And these guys just finished playing at the Jazz Fest this summer. And you can watch out for their new CD, which is coming out real soon. But today they'll be performing an old jazz standard. Is that right, Lynn?
Yes. Their mentor is Django Reinhardt. And they're going to perform for us today, Dinah. Here they are.
That was Van Django performing the old jazz standard Dinah.
Despite all the fun stuff you're hearing, the Lockouts are not happy or good times for us. We have done our best to make your day and our day a little bit brighter.
Producer Laura Palmer has been looking a bit stressed from all this, and Early Edition host Rick Clough went to see how she's doing.
Laura Palmer, as I live and breathe, my old boss.
Why, say, Rick Clough, how are you?
I'm fine. How's the lockout been treating you?
I figure if I have to be locked out, Vancouver's the place to be locked out. It's beautiful, you know? It's sunny, and that's fine. I want to go back and do my job, but until then, I will enjoy my time with my comrades and fellow workers here.
I have noticed, though. I mean, I've been on vacation. I came back. I opened up my email yesterday, and I saw almost 100 messages flashing back and forth. And the one thing that jumped out at me was the name LauraPalmer.com or whatever it is on there. Was there an awful lot?
That's true. I became slightly obsessed over the last few days, and when I realized
that... a bit of an oxymoron, being slightly obsessed.
I know, okay. But I realized that I was spending way too much time, so I thought, you know, if I'm this obsessed, there's a good chance that some of my fellow CBC colleagues and other listeners similarly obsessed with the current situation. So I thought I'd come up with a little top 10 list, signs that you may be becoming obsessed with the CBC lockouts. You want to hear it?
Absolutely.
Okay. Number 10.
Number 10.
You can't stop yourself from tuning in to hear the clever morning musings and unbelievable chemistry between Rob Renault and Susan Margetti.
I've heard the show.
Chemistry. Is that what you were thinking? This is really sizzling.
I've heard the show.
Okay. Number 9, dinner party conversations fall silent just as you start discussing the difference between a lockout and a labor disruption.
Yeah, been there already.
Yep. Number 8, you spend more time coming up with innovative ideas for CBC Unplugged than you ever did for the real CBC. Yes, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Number 7, you lay in bed at night wondering if We Met really is a CBC manager. And that's a little innie, folks, but if you're following the blogs, you'll know what I'm talking about.
He was at one time a
there
CBC
was,
manager.
There was, but
there
that's
was
not him. That's not him.
Oh, okay.
Number 6, you have started a collection of those adorable pictures of guild members' children and dogs wearing lockout signs.
Who knew? Who knew that our colleagues had so many pets
and those
and kids.
Cute little signs?
Yes.
It's cute. But, you know, you shouldn't be collecting them. Number 5.
Yes.
Your non-CBC friends stop returning your phone calls.
Yeah, that's because they know you're going to talk about that lockout and labor disruption thing. Oh, okay.
They're no fools.
No, they're not. Okay.
Number 4.
Yes.
Your lockout blog is updated hourly, and it looks really good, but your dog hasn't been fed in 3 days. Okay. Number 3. You hang around the picket line after you've put in your 20 hours because you worry you might miss something.
A hockey game going on here.
There's
now.
There's a hockey
you
game.
Don't want to miss
you
that.
Don't want to miss that.
No.
Number 2, your partner, fella, whatever, your case, your wife, politely suggests you may need a hobby. Just a little hobby.
Yeah. You, well, yours apparently is computer blogging.
I thought this was my hobby.
Exactly.
But.
And the number one reason...
You are awake at 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning writing a top 10 list about the CBC lockout.
You do need a hobby.
I need a
you
hobby.
You need a hobby,
See, I thought this was my hobby, but thanks for letting me share with you, though.
Well, Rick. You know, it's glad to be with you. I'm happy to be here with you on the picket line, obsessed as you are.
Brother Clef, we'll see you later.
Okay, LP.
Hey, guys, wait a minute. We have one last artist for you today, and his name is Jeff Berner.
That's right, and we have to make time for Jeff, because how often do you get a punk rock accordion player playing right for us here? And his song is called...
An amazing title, Tetsuro, That's What Keeps a Ran Down.
Hush, little baby. Don't you cry, please don't mind the screaming of the man in the alley on the small of his back. The policeman's knee is kneeling. I'll tell you an open secret, child, not everyone is knowing. If that little man ever left this place, you and I would soon be going. 'Cause that's what keeps the rent down, baby. That's what keeps the rent down low. That's what keeps the rent down, baby. That's what keeps the rent down low. Your daddy ain't rich, he's a music man. Your mother, she's a painter. We took over the lease of this old house from those whose hearts are fainter. 'Cause we don't mind the painted ladies with their weeping sores all swollen. We don't mind that everyone we know has had their stereo stolen. 'Cause that's what keeps the rent down, baby. That's what keeps the rent down low. That's what keeps the rent down, baby. That's what keeps the rent down low. One fine morning you'll wake up to bulldozers and renovation. Cause folks like your mom and dad are just shock troops for gentrification. For the single young professionals who find the neighborhood hip and charming. But if they heard about the lady who got chopped up in the alley, they'd probably find it alarming. And that's what keeps the rent down, baby. That's what keeps the rent down low. That's what keeps the rent down, baby. That's what keeps the rent down low. That's what keeps the rent down low. That's what keeps the rent down low.
Thanks. Good luck, everyone.
Jeff Berner, everyone. That's what keeps the rent down low.
Why are we calling this, as the CBC managers do in their ads, which, by the way, are paid for with taxpayers' money, a labor disruption? The implications and connotations of those words are that this is our fault. George Orwell could take lessons from the authors of those ads. We have to be clear, this is a management disruption. It's not a labor disruption. But, you know, let's take a look at what CBC managers are telling people and what they want. Flexibility. I agree, the corporation needs to be flexible. That's why I've moved across the country 3 times in the last 12 years. That's why I can be called at 3 a.m. to go and cover a story. But how does management define flexibility? Read the ads. Listen to their tax-funded appeals on private radio. I challenge you to clearly understand, I mean specifically understand, what they mean. When management says they need flexibility to keep the CBC capable of catching up to people's changing listening and viewing habits, it's never made clear how we failed to do that so far. Didn't they axe the TV program Disclosure? So isn't the problem really what to do with all those people? Well, then be honest with Canadians. Tell them it's not because the CBC needs to be flexible. We already are. Tell them it's that they want to let people go with no hassles because somewhere managers either miscalculated about the viability of a program or they simply made a bad decision to begin with. The lack of clarity with which management is communicating with Canadians borders on dishonesty. As journalists, we're taught to ask questions. Our guts compel us to keep asking until we understand what people are trying to say. Now, if I wrote a story with as much lack of rigor as the ads written by some CBC managers, I would face serious questions from my bosses about whether I needed some time off. I might even be fired if I did the same thing repeatedly. So why isn't anyone asking basic questions? If these statements were coming from politicians, chiefs of police, or the heads of corporations like Enron, we'd be on them like stink on a monkey. But they're getting away with this kind of stuff that they normally pay us to hunt down and expose. And worse, they're trading on the CBC's reputation for journalistic ethics to publish what sounds like propaganda. It's exactly the rhetoric our bosses would tell us to tear down if we were still working. And I'm afraid a few managers are burning through our credibility like a wildfire racing through an old-growth forest. And while managers have been only too happy to replay and rebroadcast the work of journalists in order to fill the holes they dug, all of us, anyone with a bio on the CBC website, have been expunged. It's as if we never existed. It makes me wonder if that's what some CBC managers want. Dispose of those who create programming with the click of a button, while at the same time exploit their work and take credit for it. As for the CBC management website, well, they finally got around to warning people who go there that it's not officially a CBC site, that it provides information on the current labor disruption. They had to put that warning and disclaimer there because it doesn't meet the requirements of the corporation's own journalistic standards and practices. It took them a week to figure that out. In the meantime, they were busy paralyzing the reputations of reporters like myself. They turned off our cell phones and suspended our email accounts, and then placed millions of dollars worth of advertising to tell people we are a rabble. Greedy, short-sighted employees who don't understand what we do for a living. I am stunned by the demented, suicidal capriciousness of those actions. Where is the CBC Board of Directors? Where are the managers we deal with every day? Why isn't someone trying to take back the controls from a handful of box-cutter-wielding ideologues who are ready to smash this organization into the pillars of public trust that took decades to build? On that note, at least the other guys let the passengers use their cell phones. I'm Kurt Petrovich in Vancouver.
You're listening to a special radio broadcast that's been made by the members of the Canadian Media Guild who've been locked out by CBC management. My name's Alexis Mazarin.
And I'm Kelly Ryan. This special broadcast has been made available with the help of community and campus radio stations in your area. So thanks to stations like CITR, CJSF, CFRO, and many, many more.
We'd like to thank you for listening to our show, everyone out there who has tuned in. And the only way this lockout is going to end is if listeners like you, who believe in permanent jobs, who think job security is still a good way to raise a family and have a home, are important issues.
So it's really important for you, the listeners and the viewers of CBC TV, to help us end this. And the only way it's going to end is if you write to your local MP. You can go to cmgvancouver.org, and there you'll find all the email addresses for the Canadian Heritage Minister, your own MPs, and some phone numbers you need to make your voice heard.
You can also find any information about our upcoming broadcast and podcast at cmgvancouver.org.
Thanks again for tuning in. Maybe you'll hear from us again next week. Let's hope it's on the CBC.
Yes, let's hope.
I'm Kelly Ryan.
I'm Alexis Mazarin.
For CBC Unplugged at Studio Zero, I'm Leslie Pritchard.
For CBC Unplugged at Studio Zero,
I'm Paul Grant.
For CBC Unplugged from Studio Zero, this is David Wisdom.
For CBC Unplugged at Studio Zero, I'm Dagmar Kafunka-Nunn.
For CBC Unplugged at Studio Zero, I'm Andrea Lupini.
For CBC Unplugged at Studio Zero, I'm Sudha Krishna.
For CBC Unplugged at Studio Zero, I'm Drew Karakas.
For CBC Unplugged at Studio Zero, I'm Dan Getz.
For CBC Unplugged on Studio Zero, I'm Chanel Pertap.
For CBC Unplugged at Studio Zero, I'm Margaret Gallagher.
For CBC Studio Unplugged at Studio Zero... Okay, I gotta take that again.
For CBC Unplugged, I'm Mark Forsyth at Studio Zero.
For CBC Unplugged at Studio Zero, I'm Priya Ramu.
For CBC Unplugged at Studio Zero, I'm Susan McNamee.
There you go! Yay! Woo!
I'm Kathleen Flaherty for CBC Unplugged. The recorded music you are listening to was created under a Creative Commons license by Derek Miller. Special thanks for today's program to J.J. Lee for leading the charge, to Lee Rosevere for his editing skills, and to Locke Dow, Doug Lane, and Chris Wendt for production support.